Okay, so today what we need to do is we need to kind of make some tracks because there's this day and one more. And I'd kind of like to spend a little bit of time on Friday doing, you know, a little bit of review so that you can do well on the final.
Can we do a lot of review on Friday?
We can try, yeah. Okay, so last day, remember, we had this thing right here. We looked at this thing, x equals t inverse z. We were trying to transform to the eigenmodes. And you know, the first z1 equaled lambda 1 times z1. This was in the new uncoupled system, and we were trying to show you that this T inverse matrix was the magic matrix. Okay, so let me just continue with that just really quickly, and we'll go on and do an application of that. That fact. So if I start out with A times the eigenvector, A is the A matrix times the eigenvector. If I do A times W1, I get W1 here times lambda 1, right? Where W1 is the first eigenvector. So the eigenvectors are W sub I, you know, so those are the eigenvectors. And so if I do A times W1, I get W1 lambda 1, lambda 1 being the first eigenvalue, okay, it goes with the W1, right? This is just the, you know, that's what came with our, that's how we defined eigenvectors and eigenvalues, right? And so if I do A times W2, what do I get? Second eigenvector. I get W2 lambda 2, right? And dot 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 down to A, WN is going to equal WN lambda N, right? You agree? It's kind of like this, you know. When I took the Z dot, one was lambda 1 Z, right? Remember, Z dot was A times the, was this guy, Z dot was this guy, it comes that, you know. So these were the eigenvectors. Now let's just put them all in one matrix here. So if I do this, I do A times this, W1, W2, these are vectors here, W3, dot dot dot, WN. So what I did was I took this equation right here and tacked it on to that equation right there, right? On the left-hand side. So what will I get on the other side? Well, I will just get W1 lambda 1, W2 lambda 2, dot, 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 oops, WN lambda N, right? Right, so what I did was I took each of these as an equation, and so I just put this equation right next door to the other one. Maybe I should have put in an intermediate step in here. I could have written this like this: A W 1, A W 2, right? A W N. That's that guy. I can just factor an A out on the left, and that's that guy, right? So I just took all these equations right here and just concatenated one right after the other. Boom, 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 boom. Right? Is that okay? And so now over here, I can write this guy like this. W1, W2, down to WN. Times. Well, let's see. I want W1 to be times lambda 1. So I'm going to put lambda 1. So it's W1 times lambda 1 plus W2 times this thing. So I want a 0 here plus W3 times I want a 0, dot, 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 finally to 0. Okay? So that's the first equation. A1 W1 equals W1 times lambda 1 plus 0 times all those other W's, right? that okay? Now the next one is going to be, I want this second one, AW2, or AW2 there has got to equal W2 times lambda 2. So I want a 0 here, 0 W1, I want a lambda 2 W2, and I want a 0 dot dot dot, finally to 0. Is that okay? And then I want to do the next one here, you know, and you get the idea it's going to be 0, 0, lambda 3, right? Dot, 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 down to 0, right? And it's going to keep going like that, and all these lambdas are going to go down. I'm going to get lambda n over here, and these are all going to be zeros up here, right? And all zeros down here, right?
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, this guy is our friend. This is this gamma, our lambda, capital lambda matrix, right? Remember the one we talked about last day that had all the things down the middle here. So, where did we do it? I guess it was previous to that. This was the lambda, right? The capital lambda matrix, right? And so, what do we have here? We have A. This is A times what I'm calling T inverse, right? A times T inverse equals T inverse. T inverse times this lambda right here, right? See, here's A. This I'm calling this T inverse, right? Equals T inverse times the lambda. Right? Now, what I have to do is, you're thinking, oh, well, this thing will cancel that thing, but you remember you can't swap the order of these doohickeys, right? Matrices don't commute. So I can get rid of this T inverse right here by multiplying by T on both sides on the left. So if I go T, A, T inverse, and that will equal this lambda thing, right? And so now let's go back to the thing we had last day. Where was it? Maybe it was the day before last day. Previous. Where did we do this? I don't know.
When we were talking about finding T.
Yeah, this is right here. There it is, right there. Okay, here it is. T, A, T inverse. See, this guy was supposed to be the diagonal dude, right? And what do you know? We found him. So he is the diagonal dude, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
But how would you find T?
T?
Yeah.
Here's what I'd find. So steps to find T. Okay. Steps to find T. Okay. One. Find the eigenvectors and eigenvalues of A. W1, W sub I of A and the eigenvalues. Lambda sub I of A. Okay, so that's the first thing. Second thing is T inverse. Construct it like this. W1. W2, dot, 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 WN, okay? Step three, invert T inverse, which equals T, right? I mean, to get T. Big T. Is that what you were asking, Joe?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
T is our transfer function.
No, the eigenvalues are good things to have. We don't actually use those.
Well, we will next. Okay. So everybody understand how to get this fabulous transformation here, right?
Yes.
Sorry. T inverse is the eigen
vector.
Vector matrix.
Yeah, right.
And T is.
Is the inverse of T inverse. And T is the transformation. If I take that T and multiply it by my X, I get the wonderful diagonal uncoupled fantastic things. Now, just a sec, we got to stop and think about what are we doing here and what is this like what we've been doing already in the past, okay? It's a change of basis, absolutely, and that's exactly what we did when we did Laplace transforms, right? That's what we did when we did Fourier series, right? And we always tried to change to the basis set that was wonderful, right?
So we can do it via Laplace transforms, or we can do it this way.
Yeah, you can do it Laplace transforms, Fourier series, and a whole bunch of other ways of doing it, okay? It's
cool.
Changing to the basis set where things are wonderful, okay? Now, let's show why this is wonderful. Go ahead, Ben.
I just had a quick question on step two there. Definition or anything?
Oh, well, that's just what we derived here. We just came up with this because, you know, we said, well, we started out with this. A times the first eigenvector equals first eigenvector times lambda 1, right? And I just did that for all of them. And then I took all those things, put them together, and, you know, just juxtaposed them together to make a matrix equation here, factored out the A, gave me that thing. And then over here, I tried to pull out the lambdas, and I pulled them out like this and made this kind of a matrix so that when I multiply this, I got the same thing I got up there. And I said, aha, this is my lambda. That's my T inverse. That's my T inverse. So I said A, T inverse equals T inverse lambda. And then I just multiplied both sides. And so this is just like what I had right over here.
So
that is the one that works.
Capital lambda is a matrix,
square matrix
that has the
eigenvalues down the
diagonal.
Yes. Yes, it's.
What does that do then?
That makes it completely uncoupled. In other words, you see, let's look at this z business. See, z equals this capital lambda times z. And suppose I just turn off the input here, just thinking about no input. So if I do that, then I end up with this thing just like we had next day. If you just look at that, it's this thing. See, z1 equals lambda 1 times z1 dot equals lambda 1 times z1. I can solve that today and forget all the rest of them. I'll do those some other day. And so I come back the next day. I can forget that I solved that one, and I can solve this one all by itself. No need to worry about the other ones. They're uncoupled.
Because it's just one equation.
It's just one equation and one unknown, and it has nothing to do with Z1 or Zn, right? They're uncoupled. They're untangled. It's like you have this horrible knot, right? This great big mess. Can you just imagine a great ball of yarn? And my son, he does this with headphones. It drives me nuts. You know, he puts them in his pocket, and they go in there, and I come out, and they're my headphones. And there's 62 knots on this thing, you know? And it's like, and that's what, it's like me taking that 62 knots and I got it all untangled now, right? So
yeah.
This is untangled.
In a real world sense, what would this be doing then?
Well, what this does is this tells you that Z1 equals e to the lambda 1t times Z1 of 0, right? And that means that the Z1 is the thing that drops off as e to the lambda 1t, okay? And so, and this Z2 is the thing that drops off as e to the lambda 2t. And so, you see, Z1 and Z2, suppose they came from a circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Z1 and Z2 might be the things like the differential mode and the normal mode. I mean, the differential one and the common mode. You know, that are nice, and they both, the differential mode, you know, drops off like this, and the common mode drops off like that or something, right? That they're the each one of these guys has its own decay. Maybe what we should do is take a field trip down the hall to the ME lab, and they have down there a pendulum that's coupled at the top with a spring. There's two of them on the same thing. And we can see the two of the normal modes of oscillation or eigenmodes of that pendulum. Let's go down and see if we can find it. I don't know if it's there. I think it's in the ME lab. Yeah, let's do a field trip. I'm hoping it's down here in the ME lab, because if it ain't, I don't know where it is. Okay, is it in here? Where is it if it's in here? This is looking like a junkyard.
Decently nice monitor.
It's heavier than it looks.
Yeah, let's see, maybe it's in here. Well, I don't see it. That's disgusting. Anybody else see it? It's like a built out of aluminum. It's just a wonderful thing, but I don't know where it is. Let me ask Ralph. He might be next door. Hey, Ralph, do you know where that double pendulum thing is?
Double pendulum.
It was, you know, it hangs, there's two little things and there's spring connected across the top.
Yeah.
Have any idea where it might be? I wanted to show these guys. And I don't know where it's gone to. I didn't see it in there. Yeah. Well, let's go up to the digital lab. We'll go look and see if it's up there. Okay, let's go look at that. Maybe it's upstairs. Shoot, I don't see it. That's too bad. I guess I can describe its behavior to you, but I don't know where the thing is anymore. Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. Can't find it.
Yeah. Dang it.
Yeah.
Not seeing it?
Yeah. Maybe you could go ask Riley where it is. I gotta go back down, and we're down in whatever the corner classroom is. Okay. I don't know what happened to that. Okay. It was a nice dim on it. Thanks. Yeah. Maybe you can see one on YouTube here. Yeah, just about. Okay. So.
That's a.
Wait till everybody gets back here. We lost them.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I couldn't find the real thing, but I can find something on YouTube. Okay, now look at this thing right here. Notice that, well, notice this one's going really fast right here, and this one's hardly moving. And a little bit, this guy, whoops, no, a little bit of video will stop. Okay, let me just do replay here. Okay, so this guy starts out going really big. Now this guy, that guy's going to slow down. This guy's starting to move here, right? And if you notice, this guy is swinging faster. Well, it's not really a sinusoidal motion, right? It's actually a combination of two sinusoids. Okay? And now look at this guy's going slow, and this guy's starting to go fast, right? Now this guy's speeding up, right? And so it kind of goes back and forth, okay? Unfortunately, I don't know, maybe I can find another one on YouTube, but if they do, if you start it like this, okay? Like pull both of them out instead of pulling. What they did was they pulled one out and it went like this. And pretty soon it started, this guy stopped and this guy's going, and then it goes back and forth, okay? But if you start them like this, what happens is it goes like this. And it's always a beautiful sinusoidal thing, always the same. That's one normal mode or one eigen mode, okay? Or it's actually two eigen modes, e to the plus j, that frequency t, and e to the minus j, that frequency t, okay? And the other eigen, or two eigen modes, is you can start them both like this. And then they go like this, and the spring at the top never changes.
Well, yeah, you can have this.
Oh, we can probably do the same with this, yeah.
I thought you might have even left it here. And
yeah, I know, I looked in here. Wouldn't that have been funny? We went looking all over. I was sitting in here the whole time.
I'll look around a bit more.
Yeah, okay. I don't know who's got it. Probably Riley or something. Because it's one of Riley's, you know, toys. But you know, the same kind of thing happens, right? And there's this frequency, the one that goes like this, is different from this frequency. This one is a higher frequency. So maybe I can demonstrate that with these guys. I don't know. I'm going to start out and, you know, kind of go like this. See that frequency? That's pretty high. Okay, now there's that one. Now there's this one here, okay? Now that's low, isn't it? See? Can you see that? Those are two normal modes of this thing right here. Now this is the slow one, and here's the fast one. I'm going to do this, let's see. Compressing the same. Oh, I can't do it very well. It's hard to get it started in a normal mode. You know, you got to get your initial conditions exactly right so the other one is zero, right?
Wow.
But you can see this one goes up and down
so
a lot faster.
Oh, the pendulum one,
either if you
yeah, this is like the one like this on the penelope. Yeah, yeah, right. And when I pull them both up, that's like pulling them both this way, you know?
Mm-hmm. That is crazy.
So those are two normal modes. The normal modes, this guy, if I had it on the right, you know, did it right, it would be oscillating sinusoidally, okay? The other one is a summation of two sinusoids, and you end up, when you add one sinusoid to another sinusoid, it ends up beating. You know, it gets bigger when they're adding in phase, and then a little bit later in time, they're adding 180 degrees out of phase, and so it's hardly moving, right? And then it's, you know, bigger again, and that's what you were seeing on the thing here, too, right? I mean, I could start that maybe here, too. We could try that. So what I do is leave that one there, and I'm just going to pull this one down. See now, you see now, first one goes and then the other goes, right?
Oh, yeah.
But.
It's not really stealing.
So this is a coupled system.
Yes, it's a coupled system.
It's like a car.
But you can model it in an uncoupled way?
Yeah, by one of the uncoupled things would be the, you know, the differential mode, and then there's the common mode, yeah.
And those, so this would have two different uncoupled states, and that's what they would be, the differential.
Yeah, differential and yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you had three different items in there, then there'd be tons.
Yeah, it's actually just a tiny bit more complicated than that, because if you look at our math here, there are actually each one of these things has a lambda that goes with it, okay? And actually, when you have a sinusoidal thing, there are actually two lambdas. One is the complex conjugate of the other one, e to the plus j omega t and e to the minus j omega t. And you add those two things together and you get a cosine or a sine, right? Or something in between, right? So actually, the ones when you have complex, they come in complex conjugate pairs, and we can't view them without seeing both at once, right? The ones that don't come in complex conjugate pairs would be something decaying down exponentially, right? Or actually for you guys would be like this, right? And so, you know, this is actually, when I get this in one what we call eigenmode here, it's actually a combination of two eigenmodes, because they're two complex eigenmodes and I can't separate them physically. They, you know, one comes with the other.
And it looks like they're going at the same frequency.
Yeah, I think what happens is one of these eigenmodes has a different decay than the other one.
Oh.
And so after a long time, we're only doing the common one here.
So, can we use this to like minimize vibrations and stuff?
Yeah, you can do that. Mm-hmm. If you can, but the real advantage that I use it for mostly is it makes the math a whole lot easier when you're an uncoupled than when you're coupled, right? That's
kind of math.
What's that?
What kind of math?
All the solving for the solutions. Like, for example, maybe I should show you what the next math is here. So let's start this thing. Suppose I have this x dot equals ax. This is the problem, the differential equation that we've been doing to do that, right? And we just start out with initial conditions, and that tells us what the solution. If I take the Laplace transform, this is s. X of s minus x of 0 equals a x of s, like that, right? So I can make this s I minus a times x of s equals x of 0. And so I can say x of s equals s I minus a times inverse times x of 0. Okay? Now this is in the S domain. What happens if I inverse transform that? Okay? If I inverse transform that, this becomes x of t, right? You agree? And this matrix right here is a square matrix because it's the size of A, you know, or the size of the identity matrix, right? So Si minus A inverse is a square matrix, and it's going to be, I'm going to call it the state transition matrix, okay? Which we would call, I'm just going to call this phi of t comma 0, because why do I call it that? Because it multiplies x of 0. If I take x of 0, multiply it by this guy, it gives me x of t. So it transitions me from what it was at x equals 0 to what it is at t. I just multiply by this matrix, the initial condition, it gives me what I am at time t, right? This is the state transition matrix. Furthermore, if I was to inverse Laplace transform, if I did the inverse Laplace transform of 1 over s minus a, that would be e to the e to the plus a t u of t, right? I mean, just e to the a t, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if I that's the same as the inverse Laplace transform of s minus a to the minus 1, right? Which looks a lot like the inverse Laplace transform of si minus a. The only difference is si minus a inverse. The only difference is this is a matrix and that's a 1 by 1, right? So maybe I would call this thing a matrix e to the matrix t, okay? And how would I figure out what that matrix was? Well, I could do this inverse transform for one thing, right? Or you can also do this, just the Taylor series, I plus AT plus A squared T squared over 2 factorial plus dot, dot, dot. That's the Taylor series for E to the X, right, or E to the AT. And you can do all these things. Multiply A by A. A squared is easy to do. It's a square matrix. You can multiply a square matrix by a square matrix, right? Does that make sense? So this would be the state transition matrix in the case where we have a differential equation like this where A was a constant, okay? That means a time-invariant system. Now, if you have a time-varying system, then this guy right here is more complicated, okay? But we've been doing time-invariant systems, so this is nice and easy. Now, what about computing this guy another way? If I was to do this, what would be e to the lambda t? Lambda is the one with the diagonals. That's this dude. What's that? What would that be? Can you tell me? You know, I take the identity matrix plus AT, right? Right? It's all uncoupled. Yeah, it's going to look like this. That'll be e to the lambda 1 t, 0, 0, do, 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 0, 0, and then e to the lambda 2 t, right? And all zeros up here, and all zeros down here, and finally e to the lambda n t, right? That was very easy to do. Why was that easy to do? Because they were so uncoupled, right? When I did all these matrix multiplies, or I did the inverse, so you know when you take the inverse of a diagonal matrix, it's just 1 over the diagonal entries. In fact, any function on a diagonal matrix is just that function of the diagonal entries, right?
So a number raised to the power of a matrix, does that only work that way with a diagonal matrix?
It will work with any kind of a matrix,
so
but you have to use, you know, you'd have to...
Okay, but for a diagonal matrix, we can just skip right to...
Right to this, because you can do it with the Taylor series, and you know, it'll just turn out like this. I mean, you can try it out. It does. Or just do the si minus a inverse, you know, and the a being this diagonal thing, and this si minus a is then diagonal, and a diagonal, you know, it'll be like 1 over s plus lambda 1 would be this thing right here, right? I inverse transform that using this to get e to the lambda 1 t, right? So, Alan.
What exactly are we doing when we uncouple it?
We are... finding a linear combination of the x's. Those were the original states we got. You know, maybe if it was a circuit, it would be the capacitor voltages and inductor currents. We are finding the linear combination of those things that will go at a frequency lambda whatever. We'll have the solution e to the lambda whatever t. And so what we're doing is we're unscrambling it. You know, it's all tied together, and we're untying it to make it so that we can do this one now, and that one there, and the next one separately.
So we transform it, let's uncouple, do that matrix, and then...
Uncouple it back. Brilliant, Joe. That's exactly what we want to do.
How do we find... So if our big, if our capital phi is that it's easy to do that, and
right.
So
here's what we could say. We could say z of t is equal to e to the, this guy right here, e to the capital lambda t, right? Which is, you know, this thing we've got e to the lambda 1 t, dot, 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 e to the lambda n t, zeros up here, zeros down here, right? So this guy could be done by inspection. Whoops, I forgot the z of 0. Times z of 0, okay? So this is z of t. That was easy to do by inspection, okay? It was, I just did the same thing except replacing x with z, and this would have been the answer because instead of a, I would have had lambda, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if I want to find x from that, remember, x is, what is it? T inverse z right here, right? Oh, so once I've got that, now, so what do I want to do? I want to say z, and so I do t inverse z of t equals e to the lambda t, which we can do, times, t inverse z is x. I want z. What's z? Z is tx, right? So I want to put tx here. Tx. That's z. This is z right here. Okay, z is tx. And that's this. And now what's z of 0? That's t. X of 0, right? You agree? This is z of 0. Okay? You agree? Now, what happens if I multiply on the left by t inverse? I will get x equals t inverse e to the big lambda t times t, right, times x of 0, right? Oh, what's this?
That's
e to the at. It's phi of t 0. This guy right here is this guy. We are calling this guy right here. That guy we're calling e to the at. Now that's what we did over here. So this is phi of t comma 0, which is e to the at, right?
This is supposed to make it easier.
Yes. Well, this is... this is a way to get back to what we want. So what did we do here? This is like we transformed the initial conditions to z, t, z0. That's transforming the initial conditions to z. Then we found the matrix exponential easily in the z domain. Then we inverse transformed that back to get x. It's just like doing the Laplace transform, solving it, doing the inverse Laplace transform. Okay? Same kind of idea.
You'd only do this because you have a big coupled system that's computing.
Well, one of the things you can do in your computer is you can easily find the eigenvalues and eigenvectors, right? And in your computer, probably it's not so easy to do inverse Laplace transforms, right? But in your computer, in octave, I can find this t inverse, right? And I can inverse t inverse to get t easily, right? I can write this e to the lambda t easily, right? So now I can get my computer to solve for that guy and that guy. I do my matrix multiply, and I get an analytical solution to the real thing, right? Which was not easy to do. I mean, by inverse Laplace transforms, if this was a 50 by 50 or something, right? If A was a 50 by 50. Mm-hmm.
So there's not a good way to do e to the at, then?
This is the best way I know to do e to the at.
Other than, yeah.
And, if there was a better way, I want to know about it. I mean, this is not easy either, but at least it's the best way I know to do it. I mean, this is kind of nice for small stuff. I can do that, okay, for small stuff. But if I'm using a computer, this is the way I'm going to do it if I want an analytical solution. Because I can find those eigenvectors and eigenvalues with a computer, right? You just EIG in Octave or MATLAB, okay? EIG of A will give you the eigenvalues and eigenvectors. In fact, it gives you this T inverse matrix as one of the outputs. You ask for the eigenvectors, it just gives you that T inverse. It's already stacked up just right, And it'll give you the lambda. It'll give you the capital lambda. So you do T inverse or TI, put it in brackets, TIs, comma, and then L for lambda, close brackets, equals EIG of A, and then you get, you know, the L becomes that, and the TI becomes that. Right? It just pops it right back to you. Here you go. It's great. Okay, so now, many questions before we go on and do some kind of an example here. Yeah, an example might help, yeah. Okay. So I guess I need pictures quickly and then example, right? Okay. Oh, I've got to delete all these things. NU. Okay, format card, yes. Okay. Done. Yeah, I know. Okay. Now, I'm hoping you guys have seen this before somewhere. Didn't you do something like this in linear algebra? ODE?
I mean, the dividing a normal matrix as the product of
P, PD, P inverse or something? Okay, what did I do with my pencil now? A pin, here it is. Okay. I'm going to do one so we can use octave, so you can see how to do this in octave, okay? So let's just say, you guys had a problem with 1, 2, 3, 4. Was that a horrible problem?
Yeah.
It was, right? What?
It wasn't clean algebra.
It wasn't clean algebra, right?
Horrible numbers.
Okay. Suppose we have, should I do actually all the way from a circuit, or do you want to do?
Yes, please.
Okay, circuit. Okay, so I'll do a circuit here. We're gonna have to do this in a hurry, but
well, I hope so.
So I'll make this one ohm, one farad, and I'll make this guy right here like this, one henry. Okay, did I do this one before, or is it? I don't know. I'll put an extra resistor in here, okay? Okay, so this is 1 ohm. I know I haven't done like this, okay? So this is VI of T. Okay, so here's our first state variable. I'll call that V, and I'm going to call this my second state variable, I, okay? So I have LDI dt. LDI dt is the voltage across here, right? Well, LDI dt is this current here. It's the voltage here. So it's going to be V minus the current here times 1, right? Mm-hmm. So it equals V minus I, which is the current, right, times 1. You agree?
Yes.
Okay. So C dv dt. C dv dt is the current going down here, which is equal to V in minus V, that's the voltage across here, divided by the 1 ohm. So that's the current coming in here. I've got to subtract off I, right? You agree? Okay, so now we can write the equations here. This is d dt. Okay, so I'm going to put I on top and V on the bottom because I like to keep things in alphabetical order. Okay, and I'm going to set VI equal to 0 for starters. Okay, so I'm going to have this thing right here. Okay, DI DT, that's going to be minus 1 over L here, and a 1 over L, right? This is I and V, right? And then dv dt will be, I'm going to have to put my, I could put this thing over here so we have the whole model, vi of t. This will be a 0 there. Okay, so dv dt, I just got to divide by c. So I'm going to have a 1 over c right here. And then I'm going to have a minus I over c. That's a minus 1 over c. And this is going to be 1 over c. Is that right? No, minus 1 over c.
So where does the... okay. So you took the vi in that expression and moved it outside because it only shows up...
Yeah, this is my A matrix now.
Okay.
Right? And this is the B matrix. Right? Okay. So... now what we need to do is we need to find the... We need an initial condition, I guess, right? So, let's just assume, okay, if vi of t, t equals 0, and v of 0 equals 1, and I of 0 equals 1, okay? Find x of t, okay? So this is x right here, right? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go to octave. Oh, shoot, we're about out of time. Okay.
I think we kind of get the idea, though.
Maybe.
Maybe, okay. A equals what? Negative 1, 1. Negative 1, negative 1. Negative 1, negative 1. Okay. Like that? Okay, so now let's do help. Is it help? Help EIG, just to check. And it's, first of all, eigenvectors and then lambda. Okay, so I go like this. I go... T, I'm going to call it Ti for T inverse. That's the eigenvectors. And then, comma, lambda. I'll call it lambda. Whatever. Equals EIIG of A, right? Okay, there's the eigenvalues and eigenvectors. Okay? It's underdamped, isn't it, right? Because it's got complex roots, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we can say the solution for x of t equals, what is it? It's going to be, what do I want here? I need t and t inverse. So I got t inverse, right? So I'm going to have t inverse, which is given already, right? And what's that number? Can you read those off for me?
0.707 plus
j.
I.
Plus j, okay.
Well, it's 0.0000000.
That's 0 I. That's 0, it's just 0.707, right? Right?
Yeah.
Point 707, okay. And then what's this?
Then 0.707J and minus 0.707J.
Okay. So now what's the eigenvalues? E to the what's the first eigenvalue? Minus one.
I.
So it's gonna be minus one minus j t, right?
It's minus one plus j.
Okay. And then this is zero, right? And this is zero. E to the minus 1 minus j, t, right? And now I got to do t inverse. What's t inverse?
Okay. T I.
It looked like it.
And then to the minus 1, right?
Wait.
Okay, so there's T inverse. So what's that?
0.707.
Uh-huh.
Minus 0.707J. 0.707 plus 0.707J.
Okay. Now, so that's this is T inverse, right? This is e to the lambda t, right? And this guy is t, right? And then what goes next? X of 0, right? Which was 1, 1, right? Huh, we're done. We're 5 minutes late, but we're done.
X of 0 is 1, 1.
1,
oh, you
1.
Okay.
Right?
Sweet. Fantastisch.
Now, if you hadn't had, if you hadn't to zero out VC, you said VC of T.
Yeah, that we'll have to do that next day, and then after that, we'll do just getting ready for the final. But yeah. This is just the natural response. We'll do the forced response next day.
Oh, that's why it's because it. All right. Because if you had a zero D conditions, you'd zero out it.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another name for LNA is.
That is the forced. VI.
VI is the forcing function. It causes a response. I turned it off by saying VI was zero.
There should have been a.
No forcing function.
Looks like VC is when they make it VI.
But normally we're going to have a forcing function.
Yeah, and we'll do that next day.
It cannot be very exciting without.
Yes,
power
that's right.
Supply.
Exactly. But we'll do that next day.
Okay.
We'll do that next day.
That's why you came forward.